The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
It's a scripture concerning the birth of Christ. It says, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and of the family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes." King James said swaddling clothes, which means clothes that just wrap him in, "and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn." Father, we thank you today for the opportunity we've had to be here in worship and the music and time and preparation of those who've gone into it and for the hours in order to try to make this worship service a special moment. But we, no matter all of our preparation, we recognize that without your presence of your Spirit, it would be useless. Well, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that we would sense your presence here today, and that you would speak to us about the real truth of the Christmas season. And we thank you again for all the things that have been done to make this day happen. But most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, and what this season really represents. And in his name we pray. Amen. A chauffeur had driven a chemistry professor to dozens of meetings where this chemistry professor was speaking. And on one of those occasions, the chauffeur says, "I have heard your canned speech so many times that I believe I can give this speech myself." And so the professor said, "I bet you $50 you can't do it." And so they took the bet. Stopped, they changed clothes, the professor got in the chauffeur's uniform and drove, and the chauffeur went to the event. He got up and did a miraculous job of sharing the professor's speech almost word for word. He had memorized it so many of those years. The audience was giving him praise, but then the MC stood up at that moment and said, "Well, we have a little more time left today, and I thought we would use this time and just let us ask some questions of the professor since we have this resource here." And so the first question was asked, and the chauffeur stood there with his tongue hanging out and stammering and said, and in a few moments he said, "Well, that's the silliest question I've ever heard. I think I'm going to let my chauffeur answer it." How many times have we heard the Christmas story? And I'm sure that we could come up here today and we could tell the story. We could get all of the details, the unexpected pregnancy and Joseph's concern over what was happening, the visions of the angel, Caesar's tax, a trip to Bethlehem, all of those things. Born in a stable, we've heard it so many times, it's familiar to us over and over again. And most of us can even answer some of the tough questions, like how many wise men were there, really, or just three, or was it just three gifts? Or, you know, did the star really come? And, you know, just a lot of things that people have asked out of those days and questions. But it is not so much repeating the story as it is having a fresh new vision of what it really means. C.S. Lewis one time said, "We don't need to be told new ideas as much as need to be reminded of some old truths." In 1910, there was a Harvard University, there was a young student who was at that university, and he was struggling with his faith. The professors were just tearing down Christian faith every time he went to class, and he was struggling with some answers, and he didn't have those answers. He didn't know how to answer those professors, and he didn't grasp and understood. And he went back to his where he lived, and he thought for a moment and reflected upon all those things, and he remembered the moment in which he was 12 years old. He trusted Christ as Savior, and it made such a difference in his life. And he sat down with pen in hand, and he wrote these words, which has become known as the Harvard Hymn. He said, "I know not how Bethlehem's babe could in the Godhead be. I only know that the manger child has brought God's life to me. I know not how that Calvary's cross a world from sin could free. I only know its matchless love has brought God's love to me. Sometimes we don't have all the answers. Sometimes it is so familiar. Sometimes we get caught up in all the traditions and all of the things that are going on to the point that we miss what it's really about, that He came to give us life. I remember in high school we were having the race towards the moon and trying to get into the space. I want to be one of the first countries into space, and us and Russia were in the process. We actually ended up beating Russia to the moon, but they beat us into space with the first satellite into the space. And you know, after and the day that they actually ascended into space, Reader's Digest reported that monitoring a Moscow radio station, and the news announced it like this: "As our rocket has bypassed the moon and is nearing the sun, our cosmonauts have searched the skies and have not discovered God. We have turned out the lights of the heavens, and no man will ever be able to turn them on again. We are breaking the yoke of the gospel, which is the opium of the masses. Let us now go forward, and Christ shall be relegated to mythology." And this was the atheistic communist view of the message of Christ. But folks, see, they missed Christmas. They missed the whole message of what it was about. They were looking for God in the wrong places. They were looking for God on a throne or in some form suspended so that we could see Him and understand Him. Because they could not see Him, they thought He was not there and said He doesn't exist. If they wanted to find God, though, they had to look somewhere else. They had to look into a manger where a babe was born. A strange way for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come into the world. And yet, if they really wanted to see God, they had to look at Him who became human flesh, God, you know, God among men, God as man, the great God-man who lived a sinless life and who went to the cross and there gave His life dying upon that cross. And then 3 days later came back from that grave as a resurrected and living Lord. Folks, that's where you find Him. And that's what Christmas is about. It's about the life that He came to give us. In the Old Testament, He was called Emmanuel, which is God with us. God came down to be with us, to dwell in us, to dwell with us, and to meet our needs, to reveal Himself to us. If you want to see God, you have to look to Jesus. If you want life and to know what life is all about, you aren't going to find it in all the gifts and the celebrations of Christmas. It's a wonderful time of the year, the music, the gifts, the decorations, and all those things. And, you know, I'm referred to as the Scrooge around my family because I don't care about getting all the Christmas trees and other things down. But I did. I got it down for Connie. Helped her straighten it up this week, you know, over at the house. And it's a wonderful time. I enjoy looking at beautiful sights and scenes and going shopping with all the gifts and all the things that are going on and happening. And it's a busy time in church because we'd have more parties and fellowships and other things that just kind of draw us together. But if we're not careful, worrying about whether we're going to get the grandkids the right gift and this thing or that thing, you know, we get so caught up in the atmosphere of the celebration that we miss the season and we miss the message. Folks, God became human flesh and dwelt among us in order that He might give us life and that we might have it more abundantly. Picture the scene in your mind just for a moment. Now, that little night in Bethlehem. The day is drawing to an end. Joseph is leading a donkey with Mary on the back of it, heavy with child, as they approached the little town of Bethlehem. She's weary and they're tired after the long journey. You know, even though they lived miles to the north, they had traveled south. But if you read the scripture, it says they went up to Judea. You know, the scripture always talks about going up to Jerusalem or up to Judea. So even though they lived in Nazareth, which was far north of Bethlehem, they went up to Bethlehem. And as they were going in, they were looking for a place to stay. And you know the story. I don't know whether there was more than one inn there or not, but if there was more than one, Joseph was knocking on the doors and trying to find anywhere that he might be able to stay. And we don't know all the details of how it happened, but we know that he ended up in a stable. And I'm certain they cleaned it up and, you know, had fresh hay and other things there and fresh blankets. And they laid this child that was born that night in the manger. Now picture the scene in your mind with all the things that are going on. People had gathered from Bethlehem from all over because they had decreed a tax. A strange thing, too. He told everybody they had to go back to the town of their birth in order to be registered. And so Bethlehem was the town of David's birth. And David had a long lineage of people. God had blessed David. He had sons and, you know, and there was just tremendous people. Even Jesus himself was a descendant of David. And there were people that had gathered from all over Israel, what we know as Israel today and Judea, in order to come to the little town of Bethlehem to register. There was a Roman soldiers who were in charge of things. There were those who lived around there and trying to make the best of the situation. There was the religious leaders and scribes. Some of them had been very faithful and trying to live for God all of their lives. But there's one thing that in the busy hassle, I'm sure there were those that were upset, but there's one thing that all of them had in common. They were all looking for life, and they all wanted the very best that they could find. Picture in the little inn, maybe a little cafe sitting there. The Roman soldier comes in. He's the one in authority. He's not happy about being there. Judea is a sorry place to be assigned in the Roman Empire. It's kind of left out. But he's been assigned there, and he's now been assigned to take the census and to be a part of all of it getting done properly and in order. And so he's sitting there and uses his authority. He comes in and declares and demands, give me the best. I want the very best that you have. I want you to pay attention to me. I want you to do what I'm telling you to do. And he just demands it, and he had the authority to try to make it happen. See, he was looking for life. He wanted to get the best out of it and the most he could out of it. And all of the while, in a stable across the way, in a manger filled with hay, wrapped in swaddling clothes, there lay the Lord of life. Next, picture the religious leaders, perhaps one of the Sanhedrin, who had descended from David, had a long history in Jewish tradition, was recognized because of his tradition, recognized because of his ancestry, recognized because he had lived for God all of these days and had great religious knowledge, and people respected him and looked up to them in their day and whatever. And he was demanding the best, just one glance, one aim. He's saying, give me the best meal, the best food, most attention. You know, ultimately, he was looking for life, and he wanted the best he could get. He wanted the most satisfaction he could get out of the bad experience that they had to go through. And he was, you know, by virtue of his position, he said, I deserve it. And while he looked for life in a stable across the way, in a manger filled with hay, wrapped in swaddling clothes, there lay the Lord of life. But he was not the only one. People had traveled all over Jerusalem to be there. Other people arrived, high officials, judges, noblemen. They all were demanding the best. Everybody wanted the very best of that which could be given. And they were all looking for it. Even the innkeeper. Can you imagine the opportunity that he had for the very first time? I never had there again been a moment where he was going to have so much activity and so much business. And folks, he's going to seize the moment to grasp everything he could grasp at this last minute. And to get all that he could get out of life. And they were all busy trying to meet the needs of the guests and to take care of all the things that are there. And they're all looking for life, for the best that life could give. And all the while, in a stable across the way, in a manger filled with hay, and swaddling clothes, there lay the Lord of life. Folks, is it any different today? We're striving for the best. We want the best. We want to be able to get our piece of what the world has to offer, the great sales that are going on, and we want a part of the abundant life, to feel a sense of some kind of satisfaction and some kind of blessing. And very often, while we're seeking the very best in life, we allow the Lord of life to lay there ignored. and we miss out on what we're really looking for. See, they laid him in a manger, the very Lord of life, because there was no room for him in the inn. How many of us have to look at our own lives and say we're so busy with all the things and the activities and all those things that are happening until the point that we have shut him out and said there's no more room, and we've missed out on the very Lord of life. Folks, I'm telling you, you'll never experience what Christmas is all about till you open your heart and to receive the great indescribable gift that God came to give. God became human flesh and dwelt among us. He's the Lord of life, and he'll give us that which will be the best for us and will meet our need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this time of Christmas season, for the gift in which you have certainly given to us. And we pray this morning that we will really indeed seek the best, and that we'll discover it in you, because you are the best. There's one here that's never trusted you as Savior and Lord. We pray that today they'll understand that you loved us enough to send your Son, Jesus, to die that we could have life. You'd open their hearts and they would receive you. We pray that we as your people will get our priorities in place where we'll really put you first and give it all to you. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Let's stand together as we have a moment of invitation. If there's a decision you need to make, if you need to trust Christ, renew your life, renew your commitment to God, then we ask you to come right now.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.